Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. Welcome to the family, we chose this one. This is episode 274, Tokyo Drift, lap 12. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Kung Pang International, kpdiesel.com. For all of your Japanese diesel engine part needs, check out kpdiesel.com.
Well, shout out to KP Diesel and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever update from last week, which is an episode we recorded yesterday behind the curtain. Not microphone back to normal. We're recording this in advance, but better audio than last week. So
sounds better. You sound like you're sick, but it's okay.
I'm just sick in the head, man. I'm just so twisted. Sick, I'm just like sick. Jared Leto's Joker, man.
S-I-K-K-K-K-K-K.
The big benefit to this, I think, is that there's no delay in the AirPods hearing things and then communicating. I don't know. I've not edited that yet. I don't know what that sounds like, but we'll find out. But here we are, back at it.
I think it was all good. It was just tinny. You just sounded like you called in from your phone. It was okay.
Yes. Back, you know, going back to the early, early days of Cage Club, where Mike and I were recording on a single Skype call where I'm just like, can't
same.
Edit. Like,
it just, you know, same. It's,
yep, so... Anyway, before we introduce our guest, you know who it is. I want to give a very special shout-out to our patrons, Cassie Wilson, Ben Milliman, Nick Burris, Alex Ellenin, Justin Kleiman, Brian Rodriguez of High School Slumber Ooh. Party, Haley Gerbys, Wes Hampton, Jerry Robinson, Dan the Duke, Hayden, Renato DiDonato, Michael McGann, Lane Middleton, Lindsay Lewandowski, Nate Milton of the Kings of Sports, Jason Rainey, Tom Price, Mike Gallier, and our guest this evening, Jessica Collins, a.k.a. Mon... Montez. Welcome back to the show, Ms. Montez.
Thank you. I'm back to bring the chaos once again.
Montez Minute. Let's do it. Do it before we do anything else. Montez Minute. Sum it up.
Fuck. I even wrote it down this time. So the first one is about, and I must have been hungry when I wrote this because I put that the first one.
You're wasting
about
all your time here.
Tuna fish sandwiches.
Cool. Okay. Yep. One.
Mm-hmm. And it's a bromance. It's a throuple, quite possibly a love triangle that ends in tears for everyone.
Okay.
The second one is Demolition Derby. Everybody's hungry. We're eating a lot of snacks. Everybody's pockets are full of stolen goods, stolen money. Worst bad guy ever. The fourth one is about drugs. Wait.
Okay, everyone's
drugs.
Favorite food, drugs.
Drugs.
Okay. Yeah, everybody's
hungry
favorite
for drugs.
Hungry for drugs. I literally don't remember anything else about the fourth one. Shit.
This is terrible. Montez, you wrote this down. This is going terribly, but keep going.
Listen, I did one word each because I was like, I still got to wing it. I didn't want to like write a whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No script.
All right. The fifth one, Brazil.
Okay.
This is the Italian job in Brazil. They're dragging shit through the streets. They made a lot of damage. They ruined a lot of people's lives. But they made a lot of jobs for a lot of people, too. So maybe they were doing great. They were doing great things. They were doing the Lord's work.
Sure.
Ruining
okay.
these streets. Six is the longest runway. I don't even know what they're doing on this runway. Giselle died. Did she die? Han decides he's going to go to Tokyo, and here we are.
Here we are. Now, Montez, before we talk about the most dominant, before we kick this off, that was adequate. That was better than last week. Last week Oof. Was a disaster. This is a better installment. I mean, I think for the listener, it's worse because it was less chaotic. But you actually kind of, I mean, you didn't sum up the movies. That's not what these are anymore. This is just you, like, word associating one
That's
idea.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah, I like yeah. it. It's what we're going to get to. It's going to
Whatever you
want to
do. Exactly. Yeah. Now, I think you mentioned this last time. I think you answered this question last time. But Montez, preference between American Muscle and imports?
I mean, I do enjoy an American Muscle car, but I also, sorry.
The dog squeaking a toy.
Christmas toy.
Oh, this asshole. He waits until I'm doing something.
Of course. No, Milo always tries to talk in the podcast. It's okay.
No what were we talking about?
American Muscle or import?
American Muscle or import, yes. But my favorite car
I
ever...
do like that he only squeaks it when you talk. I can mute it when otherwise, but only when you're talking does he squeak it.
I know. He's such an asshole. He is such a dick. Aston Martin DB5 is my favorite vehicle.
Okay, so that's an import, but that's not really the, like, I don't say that's the spirit of the question.
Not
I guess,
tuner.
I guess
yeah.
tuner or American Muscle, because we're here we are watching all sorts of American, you know, some American cars drifting at the end, but mostly Japanese cars drifting in this movie. Preference between those and American Muscle?
American Muscle.
Okay. I'm going to actually put here, here's the thing. I'm going to, so on the spreadsheet where I keep all these answers, I have a few different columns with emojis, like the bed it all in red, black. There's like the black and red circles. This either has a flag, the American flag or the Japanese flag. Montez, I'm going to put the British flag here for you.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you so much.
I like that.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, there's another question. This is unrelated to just about anything we've talked. I don't even know if you know the oh, you listen to the show, so you know the history of this. But Montez, is the word oil one syllable or two?
Oh, God. I was hoping this was never going to come up.
Sound it out.
Just say it. Say
oil. Oil.
One.
Oil.
One.
It's two. Oil.
Thank you. Thank you, Montez.
She said oil and then said
oil.
It's two.
Oil.
I think she was trying to sound that out. She was saying it both ways. I think, you know, Montez is one of our southernmost guests, and I think the closer you get to the south, the oilman, like, it, that, I don't know if, I don't actually know if that's a benefit in my corner or not. It just kind of becomes maybe one long slurred syllable or two. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. My dad's a mechanic, so.
Is your dad in the house? Is he there for Christmas?
No, he lives down the, I mean, he lives 10 minutes down the road.
Oh, I was going to say, never mind, because I was going to say, get him on the pod, ask him, but if he's not in the house,
you know
no
what?
Interest.
I will ask him, and then I will report back to the two of you, and you can let all the listeners know.
No, okay. No. Let Joey call him live on
no,
air, but without...
His phone number has to be in a movie somewhere, and we have to notice it. We have to do it in a minute.
Oh, no, that's not fair. No, I wanted you just to call him from a random number from New Jersey and be like, hey... We know your daughter. I have a very serious question. And he's going to be like, what the fuck is happening? And you're like, is oil one syllable or two? And just see this man's reaction. Please.
Weirdly enough, I have a note from Tokyo Drift about this specific conversation. We have another thing to get to before we talk about the movie explicitly, but...
This conversation? We've never had that conversation.
No. Well, I know.
Call Montez's dad?
No. This is the note. This is the note. Believe it or not. So toward the end of the movie... When Sean is going, he's in the office, he's returning the money that Han stole to Uncle Kamada, right?
Yes.
And he's like, I have a peaceful way to end this, we're going to have a race. And everybody starts laughing, right?
Yeah.
He refers to him as DK. And I think it's funny that it would be like us talking, this is what I wrote down, it would be like us talking to Montez's family and calling her Montez. Like, that's not what they call her. They
yes.
might know that as a name.
True,
but it'd be
yeah.
funny if a random phone number calls her dad and just like, we know Montez. She's like, who's Montez? Be like, don't worry, you know who Montez is, don't worry about it.
Your daughter.
Yes.
And he's like, what? And then you're like, but answer this question first.
But he doesn't say like Takashi, right? He just says
no,
DK. He refers to him as DK, which like I know that Uncle Kamada probably knows, but like it's his family. Call him Takashi, right? Like it's so funny. So, but I was just thinking because like there's very few guests that we've had where we give them a name that's not their name in any way. It's not even tied to her other than you listen to Zack Attack, but it's the same kind of thing where it's like you're referring to someone's someone as a wildly different name to their family, which is like why are you doing that?
It's wild, yeah. Dude. But I think we should do this. We should, Montez, give us your dad's phone number live on air, and so we can call him. Just kidding.
He's asleep right now because he goes to work at 4:30 in the morning. But
oof. Oh, sounds like my dad. Yeah, if it's 8:30 and I try to call my dad, he's probably fucking asleep. So
yeah, my dad's work. Asleep.
Is your dad similar to Sean's dad in this movie?
Does he like prostitutes? Is that what you're asking, Montez?
I don't know that my father has ever had a prostitute. Probably it was a wild time back then. He was a
you
young man.
You say probably though. You think probably yes.
I don't know. I mean, sure, probably yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
Probably it's okay. Highly likely. I don't know. Got a
lot
of ladies of the night here.
I respect it, Montez.
Chaos energy reigns supreme.
I don't know where to go from there. So we're just going to go into what is your pick for the most Dom moment? You tweeted at us a picture. You said the paper got bigger. I said the handwriting stayed the same size.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that was I wish I could convey on Twitter that like all I wanted to do is be like the paper got bigger, but the handwriting stayed.
All right,
the same.
All right.
Yeah, that's how I thought.
That's exactly how I read it. So
thank
it
you.
Yeah.
Glad we're all on the same page. Okay.
Yeah. So Yeah, Montez, what is your most Dom moment in this film?
I put Han explaining that the type of people you have around you makes you the type of person that you are.
Okay.
That's a very good answer, yeah.
I was on the fence of whether Han is too zen to be Dom-like. I think at moments he is, and at other moments he's not.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Joe? Do you think that is he too zen? Because Dom's not really zen. Like, Dom...
He's not.
He's, like, reserved, but he is not zen. He is, like, he's a clustered ball of rage that needs therapy at times, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, he...
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that he exhibits zen. Like, zen... in the sense that he, like, works on cars and is a mechanic, and that can be meditative, sure. But even that feels like a stretch. Like, yeah. It's not zen like Han is, like, the world, you know, around... The people around you are what, like, exhibits your character. Like, Dom's not like that. Like, although he might subscribe to these things, I don't think that that's what he's exhibiting.
Montez, what do you know of Dom so far, which is most of Dom, because you've seen movies that we still have not talked about yet. Do you think, would you describe Dom, where on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like Buddhist monk, 1 being a ball of rage, where is Dom on the scale of Zen?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends. Is he hungry? Is his belly empty? Is his tummy full?
Why is food on the brain with you 100% of the time?
I'm always hungry.
I do want to say, I don't know if you listened to the episode. I'm just kidding. I know you didn't listen to the episode that just came out. But remember the last time you were on, Joe was coming up with questions about Dom's pets and what kind of pet would he have. We watched the movie Riddick, where he has a pet jackal, basically. So, like, we answered that. So,
yeah.
I think, Joe, the Iron Giant, we're going to watch that next. And we're going to be like, oh my God, they're talking about how zen the Iron Giant is, which actually might be the case. I don't remember. But, like, we might get an answer in the next episode.
Tune in to find out.
But I think that's a pretty solid pick for you. Joe, what is your most Dom moment?
Okay, so I actually wasn't thinking about it as I was watching the movie this time, but when you brought it back up, I was thinking that my most Dom moment has to be Sean's dad giving Sean the Mustang to use as his
good pick.
Race car.
Pretty good pick.
I think that exhibits the most Dom-like material, but also I kind of want to, like, sidecar that with the idea that I could also see Dom being mad at his son for racing and addressing him about it, like, have you been out racing, Sean? Like, that, like, don't live the life that I've lived type situation, because I think in a long enough timeline, Dom will regret some of his decisions and not want baby Brian to follow in his footsteps. So I think both together, but mainly the Mustang being given to... Like, if it came down to it and baby Brian needed a car to race in and all he had was the engine from his dead Japanese friend, he would probably let him use the body of the car that he's been working on to put the engine in to race for his exile.
Do you think in a future movie... Brian's kid is going that he's going that Dom will give Brian's kid Jack a Mustang, or is he? I guess if Jack gets old enough to drive, he's gonna have to drive a Skyline, right? Like, I was thinking about if there could be like a way to like men like cross the like the Dom.
I think I know exactly what you're saying, and I think I know where this goes. I think that like Brian had given him a Skyline, but then like Uncle Dom gives him his Charger. And then he has two cars that are both badass, and it's like that's what happens. And then like Brian's kid, do we know Brian's kid's name?
Yeah, Jack.
Jack. Okay, so then Jack will be like, "Oh man, but this thing is really cool," and like, "Fuck my dad," because like that's just how that goes in life.
So he's gonna go with American Muscle in the end.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's got Toretto and O'Connor blood in him.
Yeah, but I think, like, your uncle's always, like, much cooler than your dad anyways. And honestly, Dom is much cooler than Brian is, right? So, like, if your dad's like, "I fucking love this thing," you're like, "Oh, yeah, that's really cool, right? It's a Skyline. That's fucking cool, and I have a car now." And then your uncle's like, "Yeah, but, like, it's not as fast as this shit." You'd be like, "Oh, fuck yeah, you're right, dude."
Because given, without spoiling future movies for Montez, because there are actually, like, major things that she does not know about yet, I don't think it's crazy to think that, like, in the timeline of F9, Jack, who's not in the movie, is like probably close to 10. Maybe he's 8 or 10 years old.
We only go 2 years between a movie, no matter how long it takes for them to come out, Joey.
No, but if you think about the thing that Montez does not know about yet, the new character that Montez does not know about yet, and his age.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
If we use movie timeline.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, I think that, like, but when F9 comes out, Jack is probably 8 or 10. If there's another little time jump, he could be 15 and driving by the end of the last movie.
You're right. Yeah, that's very, very true.
And, like, I think he would, I think, given what the fans want, I think he would have to be in a Skyline. I think he has to be the Brian replacement, but I don't know. Who knows? We'll find out. Maybe. Eventually. So I was thinking, before I get to my most dumb moment, I think because I was looking at the different characters in this movie through the lens of masculinity, and specifically Dom's masculinity, I gotta say, I was more firmly in Sean's dad's team here. Like, I don't think, woman of the night in his apartment aside, and like maybe not the best welcome to your son flying in from America,
yeah,
he is really kind and accommodating to Sean in a way that he does not deserve the scorn that Sean gives him back. Like, I know Sean doesn't want to be there, but like, I was like, I am really, like, his dad's doing a good thing here.
He has a tiny-ass apartment. He gives him the bed. Like, I don't know what the fuck else do you need. Like, that's like the greatest sign of like, of like honor, I guess. I don't know, but like, you're right. Like, Sean's dad's morals are questionable. We've talked about this a bunch, but you're right in the same sense that, like, I think that he's doing best by his son that he can in the situation that he's in. Like, he didn't, it's not like he moved to Japan with Sean and like didn't get him a bedroom or something, right? Just gets sent there, mm-hmm. and he's like, okay, take my bed, I still have to work. Your mom doesn't want you anymore. Just stay away from cars and, like, go to fucking school, and we can do this. And you can pretty much do whatever the fuck else you want, because I'm never here. And, like, that's a good deal, I think.
And I think in the middle of the movie, when he kicks Sean out, it's not really anger. It's just like, I set a rule, man. Like, we had one rule, you broke the rule, I'm disappointed. And, like, I think it's...
It's not like he even broke, like, the one rule. He's been habitually line-stepping... for, like, his whole life. So, it's not like, it's like, no, dude, this was the last resort. I set a rule that was just like, stay away from cars, go to fucking school. And he doesn't do that even. You're like, get the fuck out, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're beyond my logic. I can't deal with this.
Yeah. Mondo, do you have thoughts on Sean's dad overall?
Yeah, he should have just punched him in the face.
Who should have punched who?
His dad should have punched him in the face.
Oh, I know you hate Sean. I know you hate Lewis Black. I know you hate his accent. I know all of that.
No, his character is such a little shit.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, he plays little shit pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, old little shit, but yes.
I mean, he looks like he's about 45. But yes. Yeah, he's in high school.
I do think that Sean's dad saying, have you been racing, Sean? You're out of here. Like, the kind of quiet, just like, you broke the rule, you're out. Like, I think that's kind of a Dom moment. I'm going to go, and there's obviously, like, the obvious one is Dom's only moment is the most Dom moment, because I think that this is, like, Dominic Toretto condensed down to his purest essence, right? Just, like, cool car family, like, in 15 seconds. Like, this is everything Dom on screen in a single thing, right? I'm going to go with, though... I think Neela has the most dumb moment in this movie.
Oh, explain why. Because I also had the, like... Sorry to derail you for just a second.
No.
But because Sean is essentially playing the, like, main character, I was debating if Sean should get a dumb moment. And, like, should it be something, like, maybe saving Bow Wow from the iPod beating up type situation or something
Even though Bow Wow hates that he does that.
Yes, but he's looking out for his friends. Like, yes. I was thinking this, but like, I think Sean is definitely more Brian than Dom, right? Like, he's not, like, I guess Han is Dom in this movie.
I think so. He's a more Zen Dom, but yes, I would say so.
If you had to, like, pair it, it'd be like, okay, because they're not in these movies. Like, Brian and Sean are way more similar than Dom and Sean.
Right, yeah, I think it's the mentor-mentee, and not like a love story. Like, I don't think this is, like, I don't think the Sean-Han love story is as strong as the Dom-Brian from the first one. Like, I think there is, like, kind of a bromance there that is interrupted by Han getting killed. But I think archetypally, Han is for sure the Dom in this movie.
Maybe it's DK because he's, like, the most successful racer, but, like, also Dom wouldn't lose at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think Sean has, I think Sean's most Dom moment is at the very beginning of the movie saying, "I only race for pinks." Just like, I'm confident, like whether he has the right to be confident or not.
That's fair. Yep.
It's just like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm not doing anything less. You're going to race to my level. You're not going to race me.
Yes, that's fair. Good. What's your buzz Dom moment, though?
Neela's line, "I don't need a computer to tell me about my throttle response." It's just like, I don't want your computers. Like, it's about the driver, right? It's not the car, it's the driver. It's just, it's her just saying, I know my car inside and out, and I don't need a computer to tell me what to do.
I agree with that part of the sentiment. I disagree with the fact because Dom has Jesse doing all of his computer shits for
yeah,
him.
But I think, like, to the world, he's just like, oh, man, I know my car.
That's fair. And that's absolutely. And I think that's true and fair, but the idea that, like, Dom doesn't ever disregard Jesse or Tej or anybody that's, like, you know, doing the man in the chair behind the scenes stuff for him either.
Sure.
Like, he's more collaborative. So, but I get it. That exact one sentiment, like, I know the car better than you can tell me I know the car, mm-hmm. is true.
Yeah. The only other moment that I wrote down that could maybe be a Dom moment, I don't know if it's a direct comparison, but like Uncle Kamada, like, I just think it's the kind of move that Dom would make where he's just like, I don't understand these papers at all, but even I know he's stealing from you. Just like, I don't know about all this paperwork or whatever, but like, I can read between the lines. It just feels like a, don't bother me with the little stuff. I can see the big picture here, and you're hurting the family.
I have a question for you guys. You just broke it into my brain. I have a chaos question. Do you think Mia ever stole money from the register in Toretto's Cafe?
Probably to buy, like, earrings at Delia's or something, for sure, or Claire's. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Dom knew?
Yeah, I think he let her have it. I think he was like, that's like, you know, she deserves more
it's
than
breakage.
I'm paying her. Yeah.
It's like a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
Montez,
like, is it stealing if it's,
yes.
it's their cafe?
Yes.
Well,
if
she's not telling
money
Dom.
If you're taking money from the register, it's stealing. I mean, granted, she's stealing from herself, in quotation marks, but...
I think Mia, knowing the family, knowing the people around her, went through a rebellious phase, and then I think quickly snapped out of it. But I think that earlier, when she was trying to get maybe her brother's attention, when he was like head over heels with Letty or busy with his friends or whatever,
young,
I think she
okay.
tried to act out a little bit. And
so how long do you think he's had this cafe before? Like, how long has he had it?
I don't know. This is a question for Montez. Montez is obsessed with this cafe.
I want to say, I'm loving that we're coming full circle here. We're talking about the cafe, and I didn't even have to bring it up.
Montez, how long do you think he's had the cafe for? Yeah, you do.
I don't know. Like, 15 years?
Wow.
No! Dom is like 25 at the beginning of this, so he's had it since he was 10?
We know that he has a mortgage and that he's worried about the mortgage on the market. Or that he's worried.
Yes.
Well, no, actually, he's worried about the mortgage on the house. He's also worried about the market. So, like,
I guess it depends.
And Mia's in high school now.
I guess it depends on, like, how long has he had this crew? Like, is the cafe the
Well, he's
front?
Known Vince since the third grade.
That's true.
And Letty since she was 16. When Dom got interested in Letty.
Montez, it's like you didn't even watch the first movie and have the whole thing memorized.
Listen.
Sorry. Yeah, no. That's just us knowing way too much about the first
movie.
So
if Dom is 25, he's known Vince since he was about 9. Letty, so he's known Vince for about 15-ish years. He's known Letty for about 10 years.
Let's say 3 years.
He's essentially a single parent right now, Montez, with his own business.
Yeah.
Okay.
The question is, like, at what point in... Okay, so we know that he is... This is why everyone wants... this is the best Tokyo Drift talk, talking about the first movie. But
sorry,
we know that
sorry,
he is... No, it's fine. I'd rather talk about the first movie, even though I love this movie. Because the first movie is fascinating. So we know that he is, like, a local celebrity race car driver. You know, and influential enough that whatever he buys, everyone else will buy. So you figure he might have some kind of sponsorship with Harry's, maybe, right? But he's known in that circle.
Yes.
He's also, like you're saying, a single parent. At what point is it financially viable to be like, yeah, I'm going to start my own business? Because it seems wholly unconnected. It almost feels like he inherited the business from a family member and is just keeping it alive.
Yeah, but we never have any... we never get any recognition that, like, his dad had a cafe. His dad was, like... a broke race car driver that died when he was very young.
Mom, man. I mean, outside
And the
of
mom's
two scenes,
gone. She's fucking gone.
I know, but outside of two or three scenes in the first movie, we don't have any indication that, like, he has a cafe at all.
Maybe it's his uncle's cafe.
Maybe it's Tony Toretto's cafe.
Tony, I just said Tony Toretto. Get the fuck out of my brain.
Montez, have you watched Spy Racers? Did we talk about this?
Spy Racers.
I started it, but I never...
I think if your son... Did you show your son Tokyo Drift? This is the one you've been saving for him.
Yes, and we got through the very first chase scene.
Okay.
Like, where they're racing with the
through Shangri-La, the open racing. Yeah.
And then he lost interest because he's three. And he was like, ooh,
that's fair.
That car just crashed. Did you see that?
And then ran away to go play with his new toys because it's Christmas.
He said that car just crashed. Just like Lightning McQueen, I swear to God. And I was like, I really wish I had recorded that.
One of our patrons was telling us that when his son was about, how old was Hank when the first, like 9 or 10 maybe, when the first seasons came out? That he had a son who was like basically in the Target demo.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Hank.
Happy birthday, Hank.
Okay, he had a birthday
I know
recently.
You're a big listener to the podcast. But like when the first season of Spy Racers came out on Netflix and like it was basically geared toward kids his son's age, Justin could not get Hank to watch it at all. He's just like, this is no interest
to me. He said he watched like the first one and was like, Dad, can we please stop watching this?
But I think like, maybe for like a 3-year-old, it might be better.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll have to give it another go. So, okay, Montez. Back to the future. After movie 6, before the credit scene. Did you add more boxes, more quadrants, or are you still, you just had more thoughts about this one?
I just wrote down more thoughts.
Okay. Hit us with them.
All right. DK got the fuck.
He does? When?
He does. He says we're all the product of fuck-ups.
Oh, but that's like a sneak-in one.
I don't even have that written down in my notes. That's a nice one. Good job,
I like
Montez.
That. Good, astute observation, Montez.
Thank you. I really like that. So, we already know I hate Lucas Black's accent. That's literally all I hate about this movie.
That's the only thing you hate about this movie?
Yeah, this movie ranks higher for me than Too Fast. Too Fast is still the worst. I love the music in this movie.
It's so good. The score is so fucking good, right?
I just love that there's constantly music. Some of these songs I haven't heard since, like, high school, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's a really long sentence. And you kind of brought this up earlier, Joey. But
use no punctuation and say it all at once, please.
Or use it however you... Like, if you put punctuation in your sentence, it's okay. But if you don't have punctuation, like Joe said,
please
read it as it's written.
I love how absolutely ridiculous this plot is. Sean would be dead. You really think that Yakuza is just going to not murder him and let him say, the stupid little southern boys say, I have a deal for y'all. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is like such a great idea. Why did we ever think about this? We're not going to murder him today, guys. I'm feeling generous. Let's go have a race.
How much of your hatred for him comes from where you live?
All of it.
Okay.
Bama Boy?
You're surrounded by Sean.
You don't like Bama Boys?
Fuck no. Sorry to all the Bama Boys listening.
Hey, Montez, did you import your husband?
Oh, yeah.
Like, where is he from?
Boston.
Oh, you did import your husband.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I made a Yinzer wife. It happens. Okay.
Montez, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How come I never see you drift?
How?
There's a right answer to this question.
You never
Montez,
asked.
How come I never see you drift? Because you never ask.
My son drifts all the time.
He does.
He learned from the best.
Who's the best? Lightning McQueen?
Me?
Oh, you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Joe, Doc Hudson, obviously.
I had a thought watching this movie. In the opening credits scene, when they're spray painting the purple paint, like using the paint gun on that kid.
On the stomach, right?
On the stomach. You know what it gave me big vibes of that we just watched?
What?
The Wraith. The, like, attack of a poor soul inside a garage, inside a shop room, and I was just thinking, like, man, that was a really good movie too. And I was wondering if Justin Lin had maybe seen The Wraith, and that was his little, like, homage to The Wraith.
Maybe. I thought you were, I was bracing myself for the scene in Superfast where they drown the guy in maple syrup, right? Like, they, instead of waterboarding Ted with the gasoline, they're using maple syrup or whatever. I'm like, please don't bring up Superfast, but then I did it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But that, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it's like a, Like, does that hurt? Is that cold? Like, what would that
It'd
feel like?
It'd be cold.
Getting...
I think it would be cold. Montez, have you ever had somebody use a paint gun on your stomach?
No, but I have been put inside of a box. The box was then duct taped, and then I was put inside of a dumpster, and the dumpster was closed.
Why? Tell the rest of the story. Yeah, please. Unfold.
So, my dad's a mechanic. I mentioned that. I used to work.
What does your dad have to do with the story? This has gotten way more interesting. Okay,
yeah,
please.
So, my dad's a mechanic. Well,
one of the many prostitutes he hired put her in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to work with my dad. I was the only...
Woman.
Well,
so you literally learned it from watching him.
Yeah, so picking up prostitutes, yeah.
I mean, it's anything.
It's an art.
Everything.
It's an art.
I like prosties.
So while I worked there, you know, everybody picked on me, obviously. So I had to prove that I could hold my own.
That's a prank, Montez. They pranked you into pranking you into being cool, like to being cool in their eyes. But that was a full on prank. They just put you in a box.
It was a hazing.
Yes.
And I survived. I climbed out of the dumpster by myself.
Did you unwrap the box yourself or did they unwrap the box for you?
I unwrapped the box myself. They didn't tape it too tight, you know.
Cellophane or duct? What are we talking about?
It was duct tape. I have huge muscles, okay? My muscles are huge. I'm like 120 pounds on a good day.
Well, you also have, now you have mom strength, so like you're probably even stronger
yes.
now.
Yes, yeah, you can just Mia this right through the fucking thing. Let's do it.
Oh, well, it gets better. I got another one.
Keep going, please. Chaos energy reigns supreme.
I was once put inside of a stack of tires, so four tires high. They were pretty big tires. Head first. And I had to get out of the stack of tires.
Montez, I know this is called CrossFit, and people do this all the time. And
people
they
pay
money
to
do
this.
It. Yeah, they pay to this. Do this.
Are you trying to say that I created CrossFit?
Pretty much.
No, you developed free CrossFit.
That one's not a hate. That's just they were just trying to get you to work out. That's totally fine.
Well, my favorite story is I walked out into our shop.
What? Another third one? Keep going.
I got another one. And a clock fell down, and someone just turned around and yelled, Flava Flav.
Montez, that was not the best story. You ended on a
Yeah, you ended on a terrible note.
And that's coming from me, who's a terrible storyteller for most of the time.
God damn.
Cut that. Put that at the beginning. And then make this like memento, you know, just fucking splice it together. Fix it in post.
Montez, go back to your notes. What else you got?
All right, let's see. I put that I would absolutely starve to death at this school. Again, food.
Why? You don't like Japanese foods?
I am such a picky eater that I would die.
Oh, God, I hate you.
That seems to track with what we know about Montez.
Yeah, that does. God damn it. You and my wife. Fuck.
Sean is such a trash racer.
Just bad at it. He's just bad
at trash. Just trash. Yeah.
Down
so the fact
line.
That he, yeah,
he gets better. He learns how to drift. That's the whole like middle of the movie. That's like 3/4 of the movie is him learning how to drift.
I mean, yeah, I saw the training montage, but no, he's still a trash racer.
Okay. Why? Why is he so? Because he hits the cars sometimes. That's the American way. You just fucking send it and go.
Yeah. If he was a good racer, he would miss. The cars.
He's working.
But he wins.
It.
But you win. That's the whole point.
They were cones.
Okay.
The MC Hammer poster when he first gets to Japan. I thought that was pretty funny.
There's a reason for that. Do you know about this?
No.
There's a whole like MC Hammer. Like MC Hammer was friends with Justin Lin, and Justin Lin needed extra financing for this movie.
Yeah, so he financed part of the movie.
Called MC Hammer. He's just like, I don't know who else to call. And MC Hammer like helped fund part of this movie. Or maybe it was Better Luck Tomorrow. I don't know if it was this movie. I think this movie was too big. I think it was Better Luck Tomorrow. But like,
yes,
MC Hammer's in there because Justin Lin is friends with him because MC Hammer bailed them out.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't it like a wild, like...
That is really wild.
Justin Lin's like, yo, MC, can I get some funds for this movie? He's like, yeah.
just put my face somewhere.
I don't think he did. I think he did it as like an homage on the back end, not like MC was like, put my face in the movie. I think it was the other way. Because like, what's MC promoting?
I like that we're calling him MC. Like, MC is the thing that all DJs share. Just call him Hammer.
Hammer. Oh, Hammer. Mr. Hammer? I think he goes by MC. You think he goes by Hammer?
He says in the song, Hammer don't hurt him. Like, he calls himself Hammer.
No, I think the ladies call him Hammer. That's, and he call, like, if you're talking to him and you're boys, just MC.
Reverend Hammer.
Reverend.
The good reverend. The good doctor.
The good doctor.
Speaking of, did you see that Bill Cosby going to go on tour next year?
Really?
Yeah.
To be honest, I honestly thought he was dead. Like, until you just said that. No, I know
he survived
like
prison.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I really thought that he died, like, a while. Like, I know that he went to prison, but I just, like, I think I killed him in my head as he went to prison. Both work for me. Going on tour is a wild concept.
I thought you were going to say, you know what? I want to see him on tour.
No.
Like,
totally thought he was going to say that. I totally thought he was going to say that.
Absolutely not. No. I'm saying if he dies before he gets on tour, I'm fine with it. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
I'm kind of sad. I wish that Sean had gotten an ego check at some point in this movie.
The entire movie's an ego check for him, I feel.
I feel like it all just worked out for him at the end.
Yeah, in the end, because that's what movies happen. But I feel like the entire movie is the country of Japan being like, you don't belong here.
Yeah. Yes. But that's not actually the country of Japan. Like, they'll welcome you for a little and then be like, but you don't get to stay. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Okay. Uncle Kamada looks like Dick Tracy when he first walks in that white suit.
Oh. Okay.
And Montez, I think you probably know the answer. Do you know who the actor who plays Uncle Kamada is?
No.
Joe, do you want to hit her with it?
Sonny Chiba.
Do you know who Sonny Chiba is?
No.
Joe, do you want to hit her with it?
I've heard the name.
Hattori Hanzo.
From Kill Bill.
I've only seen that movie once.
Goddamn,
Montez.
I was going to say, you guys don't slap me through the line here.
Go back.
Yeah, Soldier Boy kissed her through the phone. We're going to slap you through the podcast.
Oh, no.
Good reference. Wow. Joey's on full chaos energy. He came prepped tonight. I like it.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Soldier Boy references? Okay, I'll take them.
All right. I'm to the last of my notes. I do have.
I know. Yeah, we
know. We've been recording for half an hour.
We know 13 you're minutes of that. Keep going.
We're all prepped. I'm I don't have a lot of stamina. Okay.
People check the runtime. They're like, "Yep, this is about the time of the episode where Montez runs out of ideas."
Runs out of notes. Paper got bigger. Handwriting stays the same size.
Oh my gosh, I wish
the
I could
idea
just,
that you made quadrants and they're not in a fucking grid blows my mind every time. I saw the picture and I was like,
never
why are they like, why'd you put an N? Like, I think that maybe, Montez, next time try four different pages because I think you're putting an end point to your fucking thoughts.
You're limiting yourself.
I'm doing it to myself. Yeah. I'm doing it to myself. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
You're sandbagging your own shit. That's what I'm trying to say here.
All right. The next one.
God damn. At least half and half them. Like, come on.
Okay, look.
Front and back. You could do both sides. Paper
fuck
you can write
need
on
a full
either.
Page. Fuck doesn't need a full page, so fucking other thoughts will go
you
together.
Have, like, yeah,
there's a star.
Page.
That's a star in the top corner, Montez. That's not.
All right.
Oh, God.
I got you. I'm going to figure this out for next time. Okay. I'm going to figure this out for next time. Listen, sometimes I'm writing my notes and I'm like, man, does anybody give a shit what I'm writing here?
No.
Maybe don't write that down.
Montez is making like a grocery store list. She's like, I ran out of space. We're only getting six things today because my handwriting is enormous.
Yeah.
Her son's like, mommy, did you buy me juice? No, I didn't have room on the paper.
Her poor kid got three toys for Christmas because she couldn't put more on the page. She just like she just ran out of room. He got his like toy car, lightning equipment. It just ended. That was it. That was all she.
God.
That's all I got.
Sorry, kid. Sorry to ruin Christmas. Okay. Much like Vince not knowing how to read and me being flabbergasted that he learned another language so fast. How the fuck did Sean? With that dumbass accent, learn how to speak Japanese so fast.
He didn't. He never did. He learned a couple words in Japanese. He didn't
I also
learn
think,
how to speak Japanese.
I think it's the same thing for both of them. I think it's just like trial by immersion. Like you're in another country where like
you can't get around unless you
speak the language.
All right.
I did pretty good. By the time that I was leaving Japan, I was pretty decent. Like,
wait, Montez, you remember this story about Joe's Tokyo trip?
Tell it to me again.
It started from this movie. I got really drunk. I was watching Tokyo Drift. and I found the longest possible study abroad that I could find in Japan, and I signed up for that day. Like, that night, I woke up, and it was like, you've been accepted to study abroad. Send in your fucking transcripts. And I was like, oh, shit, I actually did that. And so then I went, and it was a lovely time. But that's exactly how I spent multiple months in Japan.
Cool story, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I didn't get put inside a tire or fucking whatever, but sure.
Or, guys, the best story of all.
Flavor Flav! Oh, my God. Okay, I did not write this down, but I did enjoy this movie. We all know how much I hate Too Fast. I did enjoy this movie more because there was so much more racing. There was so much more vehicle.
Yes.
Ness.
Yes.
Vehicular manslaughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Montez, I really enjoyed
you
that.
You segued me perfectly into another thought that I had while watching this movie. And it's something that, like, we've kind of, like, danced around, but I don't think we've ever, like, formally talked about, Joey. And that's that I'm really sad. And I think there's a distinguishing point here that I'm sad that we now kind of end these movies on, like, an action set piece number as opposed to a race. And we talked about how, like, you know, the race is diminishing and the cars are less important. It's more about family, whatever. But, like, I feel if we don't end 10B on an actual head-to-head street race, I will be disappointed. Do you have thoughts on this?
I think they're playing to two bases here. I think they're playing to, we need to make $1 billion and people want
yes,
action. But
absolutely
I also think
fair.
That they want to end things in a way that their fans feel like is deserving
vindicated.
Of the franchise.
Yeah.
I think I don't know how, because we don't know who the final boss, final villain, final enemy will be. I would be surprised if there's not like a really cool race in the final movie.
Like a one head-to-head... For Exile, something along those lines. Because, like, that's what... I get that the stakes aren't as high and the action isn't as high, whatever. But, like, I think that we should maybe have an action set piece. And I was trying to think back, and, like, I don't want to spoil 9 for Montez, because I know she hasn't seen it yet. But I feel like 9 kind of ends on something that resembles a race. But not as much of a chase. I want, like, an actual, like, head-to-head Rita Ora, exceedingly handsome guy, and go race, right?
I think realistically what would happen is that they would save the world through some kind of spectacle, and then there would be a race between, like, Dom and CGI Brian or something. Like, I think that it's going to... I can see it...
Yeah, another one of these, like, the road splits, like, 7 type situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And
I don't know how you save the world via a race. Like the fact that like he's like, I know how I'm gonna solve this thing where like people are literally dying, we're gonna race down a mountain, right? Like it's just like that's not a way that anybody solves problems, just like it's okay in this movie because the stakes of this movie are wildly weirdly low and specific to cars.
Yeah, it's disappointing to me. Like that was like my main like we get these movies fucking run for 2.5 hours now, mm-hmm. right? And, like, we can't just, like, have, like, Dom and whoever just, like, race at the end for funsies. Like, we have to have, like, the beach scene. I get that. We have to have, like, other things. But, like, come on, man. Give me, like, even a race between the family. And, like, we don't need to see the winner. We don't need to see the ending of it. But just, like, just send it off. I think the closest thing we get, like, from... Because we mix up the chronology is, like... Han and Giselle, like, driving off into the sunset kind of situation, right? Like, that's kind of like... It was 7, we get the Dom and Brian split, but
I mean,
that's, like,
the entire opening to 8 is the Cuban Mile. Like, that's a race.
No, but I don't want that at the beginning. I want it at the end, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying, like, you need to have a race right before the credits drop. That's what I want. That's specifically at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know, because... Yeah, let's... Without spoiling, because we're getting close to the things that Montez has not seen.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about these as the movies come. But I think you're right. There's not enough movies that end with a race, which is you know where it started. So
I don't know. I just had like a weird nostalgia for it when I was watching it this time. That I was like, That's ultimately what I want. And I think that hopefully, Justin Lin, I know you're listening, and I know you'll come back to do 10B, because the other guy obviously doesn't want to be here. They hired him 2 weeks in. But Justin Lin, when you iron out your shit with Vin and The Rock, come back, 10B, end it with a nice soft race, kind of like the $1 million race, right? Like something like that, where like the whole family does a race, they're like, and we're racing for home or something, like whatever. And do that for me, and I'll appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. You're not alone. I would like to see that. I know a lot of fans like to see that. I also think that the way that we watch these movies, the order in which we watch them, I think if we watched 1, 2, 3, then 4, I don't think you would feel that way about this movie.
No, I don't think so.
But I think having seen 5 and 6 and then this, it's like, oh, this is a different movie than those entirely.
Yeah, and it's just like something that's like a tiny sparkle that like just makes me feel like happy and nostalgic. And I know that we chopped up the order and they've evolved more naturally than it feels watching them this way, like you said, but I just want it. Just, like, give me something, like, gentle to, like, ease me back in. Like, because, dude, I have a strong feeling that at the end of 10B, we're going to be, like, bawling, right? Like, just knowing Fast and the Furious, like, they probably might have to kill Tyrese in real life and just, like, roll this out with him
not dead. not kill Tyrese in real life. Like, that's...
No, I'm saying, dude, they might have to. That's just, like... To get the movie going, and I think that would be nice to have like a cute, soft send off like we have in 7 to like close the movies out.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. We'll find out. I think we're going to. I would not be surprised if like. So Montez, did you watch Sense8? I think you did. I think we talked about this, right?
Yes.
Did you watch the movie?
Yes.
So, Joe, there was a series on Netflix called Sense8 that the Wachowskis made with Tom Tykwer, whom they made Cloud Atlas with, and it's one of my favorite shows of all time. Okay. And it's so wildly ambitious, and it's crazy, and it's so graphic in, like, every way. Like, there are orgy scenes, there's the most graphic birth scene I've ever seen. Like, it is, they took swings in that show. And, like, it's sci-fi, and it's weird, and it's great. And the fact that it got second season at all was amazing, a miracle. And then after 2 seasons, Netflix pulled a plug. But then Netflix gave them funding, whatever, for a movie to finish the story.
Okay.
And so the movie's like 2.5 hours long. And the movie, like, the story basically ends, like, with half an hour to go. And then the last half hour is just kind of like a party with the characters. And, like, I would not be surprised if that's how 10 and 10-2 ends. It's just like, hey, we have 40 minutes left. Like, it's just like, it's a barbecue in real time, man. And we're going to hang out. We're going to race cars. We're going to talk, you know, just...
Recap like that, all of our, like, recap all of our wacky hijinks that we did through the 10 down. That's, like, the biggest fan service they can give me, and I will be so excited about it.
Yeah, do you remember that, Montez? Do you feel about it the same way that I do? Like, it's just like, oh, I just want to hang out with these characters.
Yeah, I cried a lot with that show.
It was so good.
Such a beautiful show. I really, really loved that show. Whoever is listening, if you haven't watched it, please go watch it. It was magical.
I would say almost literally, without exaggeration, every episode did something that I've never seen anything else do.
Crazy. Yes. Yes, I would agree with that.
It's unbelievably good. The fact that they got a second season at all was a miracle. They had to recast a couple people or whatever, but the movie was just like, hey, we know you love these characters. We love these characters. They win in the end. Spoiler, but like it's a happy ending, and then they just like a literally a half hour long party. It's so weird and like unnecessary, but also perfect. So
awesome.
I could definitely see a franchise with, by that point, close to 25 years of history and characters that you love, just being like, hey, let's hang out, let's race cars, let's talk, let's just show people in the garage, you know, on the grill, whatever, just hanging with these characters.
I'd love it. I'd be a very, very, very big fan of that.
Montez, what else you got? You said you were running toward the end of your notes. What else you got?
She did. She even went notes in her brain.
Yeah,
she didn't have any space left on the paper.
I didn't. Because, you know, my handwriting is so huge. no, I got nothing else. I really enjoy this one. I like the music. I like the racing.
Who's your favorite character in this movie? And don't say Han. Can't be Han.
Do you like this? Do you like this as a standalone movie, like independent of the Fast and Furious? Like, if it wasn't called Fast and Furious, just called Tokyo Drift, if Vin does not show up at the end, would you like this as a movie on its own?
I feel like if it was a movie on its own, maybe. I mean, I still I still remember how I felt when I first watched it. This is the one that I've, this and Too Fast, I've watched the least. I think okay. I've watched this probably a little bit more than Too Fast. But okay. I think when I originally saw it and it originally came out, I was like, this has nothing to do with the other two movies. Like, why yeah. are we here?
You got a galaxy brain it, man. You gotta go, yeah. you gotta think outside the bun.
Yeah, so, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know that I would turn it off if it was on TV.
Because I think, to answer that, although nobody needs it, like, I think this is one of the best standalone Fast and the Furious. Like, this is one that I would show to a lot of people, and it would be weird, and it's not, like, the best exhibition of a Fast and the Furious movie, but I greatly enjoy it, and I think there's some joy in it, right? Like, it feels just, like, Justin Lin gets, like, his first fingers on it, and these kind of things that, like, I think that, like, as a standalone movie, if the rest of the Fast and the Furious franchise didn't exist, I would still really enjoy this movie.
But, Montez, I sort of stepped on Joe's question. Favorite character in this movie?
The dad?
Sean's dad.
Interesting.
Why?
I think because he, like, you know, is putting up with the shit. I don't know. I was just reaching. I don't have a favorite character.
Do you have a sense on who is right on the today is the 7th?
The dad. The mom is a crackhead, so she's obviously wrong. The dad first lives all, there. He knows what day it is.
First of all, she's a single parent, Montez, and as someone with children, you should know how difficult that could be. And he's a little fuck, too, which you said.
Mm-hmm.
He's just being a little fuck running around. I don't fault her, dude. She needs a cigarette break inside the police station.
He's a grown man.
Just because he looks 40 does not mean that she does not have to take financial and physical responsibility for her child.
Montez, did you listen to the episode where we interviewed her?
No. I might have skipped that one.
Yeah, we talked to her.
Did she say it was her fault?
Yes.
No, she did not remember. She was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We asked her specifically about this, but I think at the end she was like, probably.
Yeah.
She's like, I wouldn't trust me. Yeah.
She says she seems like she's kind of distraught. Like, yeah, we saw too.
She basically said what you know, is normal. She basically, it was just a job, man. Like, I had fun. Like, it was nice, but, like, I don't remember this stuff. So,
yeah. She wasn't like, in
I was
a very
thinking
long
about
either,
X-Files.
So.
She was in a couple X-Files episodes.
Yeah, talked about that too. Nice. Joe, do you have any other notes, any other thoughts?
No, I think I got them all out as we were talking. I did.
Two very minor ones. I will say... We talked about this with Alex Jacobs when he was on of Racer Trash, Spiffy the Dog, but the music in the drift date scene is really as beautiful. Like, that score, that song on the score is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So I just really like that this time. It just hit me in a different
score
way.
Score and
time.
Soundtrack, both yeah. sides of this movie, incredible. Like, top tier. I don't know. I don't feel like they've gone away from that, but, like, I also wish that it felt more like this, and I don't know if you can recapture that. I don't know if it's like a person or the choices or anything that's happening or the time for us, the nostalgia that we have for the music that's in this at the time that we were of that age. What? But yes, I agree.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wanted to say was, something I texted Mike before, but in the new, did either of you see the new Elvis movie with Baz Luhrmann's Elvis with Tom Hanks?
Yes. No. Yes.
So a lot of that movie and Mike's favorite thing from that movie and a lot of people's favorite thing from that movie, like even to the point where like Paul F. Tompkins has a character on Comedy Bang Bang about this, but Colonel Tom Parker, played by Tom Hanks, is trying to convince Elvis. He's like, you and me, we are the same. We are the same, you and me. Like, he just like, you know, we're in this together. Like, you know, my interests are your interests. When you do well, I do well. And I do well, you do well. Like, you should be. And like, Elvis is like, oh, you're right, man. Like, whatever. And like, his entire career, he screwed Elvis over. But at one point in this movie, Uncle Kamada, or no, DK says to Neela, you and I are the same, Neela. And so I just texted that gif to Mike, just like, Neela, you and I are the same. We are the same. So, you know, just burned into my brain from Mike. Like, Mike sent me a voicemail on Christmas Eve saying, as Colonel Tom Parker, saying Merry Christmas, you and I are the same. Ho, 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 you and I are the same. So Mike has said that to me via text and voice and in person very often. I'm sure he has said it to Robin even more, and so now that line is in my brain forever tied to him.
I have an idea. Can we please ask Mike Manzi to, or can you cut that and put it in here so I can hear it?
I can maybe forward you the text from him.
Because I like Mike doing impersonations and accents, so please.
It was really good.
Thank you.
All right. It's time to play this Ain't No 10-Second Race, a.k.a. Boy, Do We Have a Podcast for You. So the issue here is that Twitter is surprisingly not doing well tonight. Can you believe it? That Elon firing all these people, like, Twitter.com.
It's our last episode's title name.
Doxing Elon's helicopter. It's working on my phone, so I'm going to be able to do it on the phone. I can't really review. I don't know. I genuinely don't know if we can review last because, like, Twitter just isn't loading.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find.
Do a pause and do a double up next time? That's fine by me.
Montez is going to retire on top because Montez got points last time, I think. But, okay, I can view things. Okay, let's see here. It's going to be creative. But, okay, last time I found Yuletide Chris Vanderkay at CK Vanderkay. Someone let Vin Diesel know that Gal Gadot may be available for those Fast and Furious movies after all. I said all we want is a Han and Giselle 3 movie spin-off series. Boy, do we have a podcast for you. Oh, it got a like. I don't know who liked it because I need to log into Twitter to view, and I can't log into Twitter, so what? Maybe I got a point. Maybe I don't have
Mine's
a point.
Mine's fine.
Your desktop is fine?
Yep. It's working delightfully. Yes, I can coach with you. Do you need
so
me
I need
to do?
You. I need you to look at this tweet. I need you to see if I get a point for the like or who else liked it. We might just be on different Twitter servers, and I just might not be able to access it. So look at that one and see who liked that tweet.
Okay, let me see.
Do I get a point? This is exciting for me.
Don't miss what's happening. Log in.
No, see if you can log
death.
In.
Circle of death.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Yeah. See?
Sorry.
Okay, so maybe I have a point. Maybe I don't have a point. I don't know.
I have Joe, 3 points. I counted them.
Well, do you have a point? Who do you have points from?
Exactly. You can't see shit. I got all these points that I just am adding up right now.
Joe, I know you have no points because you found Ivy at the Psychiatrist who quote tweeted the Jason Momoa welcome. Oh, because they said, since they already done with planes, I think this time they go into submarines and Aquaman here wrecks them up. But by the climax, they find out that he is Dom Toretto's pet fish's long lost half brother. Said we were just talking about Dom Toretto's fish and we agreed, boy, to a podcast for you. Joe, I know you got no points because no interaction on the tweet whatsoever. The view count, it's zero views. No, it's not zero views, but I can't see the views because Twitter is dying. Montez, you found Fell, maybe, at Paco Kick the Taco. A fun way to avoid stupid internet discourse is to log off, get stoned, and make someone watch the Fast and Furious movies the first time. We said, come here, Paco. You're part of our hashtag family, and you didn't even know it. You belong. Boy, do we have a podcast for you. Nothing. So I might have a point. I don't know. I might not. Actually, let me see if I can do it on my phone. We're going to find out. One like from CK Vanderkay. Whew, Joe. Point for me. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got 75 points. You just can't see them right now because Twitter's down.
Well, you're at 78, and I'm at 60 and a half. Montez up to 11
Dude,
from last time.
By the way, I just want to say this. Rachel has asked me like 3 questions in the past 24 hours. One was like, guess what percentage my Kindle Paperwhite that you got me is at right now? I said 73%. It was at 72. She asked me some other question. It was a number, and I was like one number off of that too. So just to let you know, my fucking number game reigns supreme. Like the chaos energy in this episode, like the points that I just got for all these tweets that you can't see right now. So just add 300 to my points, and we'll call it a day.
I am proud of you. No. The answer is no.
Fuck. I tried. I tried, guys. I tried.
Okay. I found this tweet from this guy, Lewis Rabinowitz, who has a newsletter. Okay?
Okay.
And so the tweet that I found before, he's done 5 newsletters on Substack about the Fast and Furious. He just put one out on Christmas Day, I think, about Fast 5. But the one I found, I'm either going to reply to one of two from him about this thing, but he has a thread of the new newsletter. So the one he says is new newsletter on Tokyo Drift, a neat little spinoff with much to teach us about the art of drifting, Bow Wow was Twinkie, and an astonishing cameo that puts Henry Cavill to shame. I don't know. I guess that's the Dom cameo.
Okay.
but the one that I found him from was looking ahead to Tokyo Drift for my newsletters, and I am struggling to get over the hump of, quote, Bow Wow is Twinkie.
Okay.
I think it's just kind of funny. Just like, yeah, that there's a certain point where you have to talk about this movie, and just like, Bow Wow is a character called Twinkie, as we've talked about with Wes, because he was originally written as an Asian character, and then they cast Bow Wow, and so they didn't make him Oreo, they just made him Twinkie.
Yep.
And he also said, he responded to his own tweet saying, the Zendaya is Michi of a different era, stunning.
Is Zendaya is Michi? Who's Michi?
Joe, we've covered this movie for a different podcast.
What is, who, but I'm, yeah, but fill me in here, my brain's not clicking.
There was the movie Smallfoot, the Channing Tatum Yeti movie Smallfoot.
Okay.
Where, I need to get the name of the comedian, but Zendaya played a character named Michi.
Okay.
And there were all these billboards and like posters around Los Angeles of all the characters, like, and Danny DeVito is blank, and Channing Tatum is Smallfoot, and Zendaya is Michi. Gabriel Gundacker, who is very, very talented. I think he's friends with Demi, who we've talked about on here a lot.
Yeah.
He also created Wii Sports theme songs for sports that aren't in Wii Sports, like Wii Sports Badminton and stuff. Like, he'll just, like, create songs that are, like, peaceful and soothing. But
kinda
he
cool.
did this video that went viral on TikTok, or it wasn't Vine, because it's too recent for Vine. Maybe YouTube, maybe TikTok, maybe Instagram, whatever. But he just did a song where, and Zendaya is Michi, which I'm sure you at least knew about. I'm sure Rachel knows.
I'm sure she does know, yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So Bow Wow is Twinkie is a really kind of objectively funny turn of phrase to think about.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, cool.
The best name and casting in the franchise, and I'm going to pander to him. We can't wait to read your newsletter. Boy, do we podcast for you. All right,
yes.
Joe, do you want to hit us? I know you sent it to you on Facebook. Please hit us with yours.
Yes. My tweet is from Young Wong Manon.
Okay.
At Blue Mazahost. It seems as if this person is replying to a tweet by somebody else that goes by ASAP Spooky Rose. Or a spooky rose. Sorry, I thought I read ASAP. That was much cooler in my head. Okay, who was responding to another tweet that said, like, what's a movie that you love that the general public hated? And they said, my shock when I found out people didn't like it and even hated it, Tokyo Drift, but 300 as well, too.
Which we just talked about 300 on the
yes.
Riddick episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they replied, Tokyo Drift is the only Fast and Furious movie I ever liked. Crying emoji.
Okay, so we're responding to Young Wong Manon, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to retweet
yes.
that one, okay? And what do you want to say to this person?
I want to say, we love Tokyo Drift, but I think if you spend a little time with us, you might like some of the others too. Boy, do we have a podcast for you.
Okay. Montez, what you got?
I just texted you one.
Okay.
Since you said this was working on your phone.
Yes.
It says, this is from Herb Dean.
Yeah, Let Gino Cook on Instagram, or on Twitter, his handle.
Yeah.
So, yes, Seahawks fan, 12th man, etc.
Avatar The Way of Water was solid. If I had to score it on a scale from Tokyo Drift to Fast 5, I'd probably say it was Fast and Furious.
Okay.
Mm.
10 out of 10, boy, do we have a podcast for you.
Okay. If Joe was responding to this one, he would say 5 out of 7, perfect movie, boy, do we have a podcast for you.
Oh.
Yes. But,
cool. All right. We have one more game to play. It's called Dude, What's My Car?
Dude, what's
my car?
What's
your car, dude?
Oh, yes, let's do it.
So this is an exciting one. No shade to Jerry or anybody who sent these in, but this was the first email that new listener favorite, I don't know how to, somebody we love hearing from, artist who has contributed to the show. This is from Jason Rainey's first email to us. He also added a car picture in there.
Oh, yes. Cool. We're catching up. We're doing good. Okay, cool.
So this
on.
Is from
Moving
March
right
of this
along.
Year.
Okay.
So Montez tonight, Joe, is going to help you guess.
How do you know that?
Because I talked to her. She's my friend. We talk outside the podcast.
You're not allowed to do that. Joey gets mad when you do that.
Also, I'm like, I need to do a lot of prep for this. I need to make sure that she has what she needs.
Yes.
When I email her the link to the ZenCast, I'm like, do you also need an email for the car picture? She says, no, I'm going to help Joe guest tonight.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Montez, for being on Team Cool Kids that don't love Christmas movies and then pretend like they don't. Thank you.
I'm not going to be very much help, but I'm here for you.
Montez, do you love Christmas movies or do you just pretend like you don't like Joey does?
I like trashy Christmas movies. Like, I like super cheesy,
okay,
Hallmarky Christmas movies. Okay. Like, ironically, I love Tim Allen as Santa Claus.
Ugh.
I love Christmas with the Cranks.
Ugh.
I love...
Joey's doing a good job pretending like he doesn't like Christmas movies right now. Good job, Joey. Keep it up.
I love Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, me too. I do.
Yeah.
Okay, but who doesn't want a Turbo Man for Christmas?
Exactly.
Jason has attached some car pictures for Joe, too, and Montez to guess. How do you know you were going to be here? How does he know Montez? Just kidding, he doesn't say Montez. It'd be wild if it did. I'm not sure if you guys have done this one already, but it's a blank, blank, blank. He says, aptly named. That's a big hint for you.
Okay.
Though in some countries, it was called something else.
Okay.
This name that you're trying to guess was the name for the Japanese market. It's a Japanese car. Okay. And it's known as the main car in a Japanese road movie called The Yellow Handkerchief.
Oh, I don't know that movie. Okay.
You know? Actually, I'm going to look this up here.
Aptly named... Japanese car in a movie.
There's a Maria Bello Kristen Stewart movie, The Yellow Handkerchief. I don't think that's the one that he's talking about. This is the Japanese one. Three complete strangers embark on a road trip to Hokkaido.
Okay.
Jason gave it 4 stars. This
drive
looks
my
like
car,
pretty...
but the movie.
Man, I love Drive My Car. Monta, did you see Drive My Car?
No.
Jason, let us know if we should watch The Yellow Handkerchief for the podcast. Because remember, Joe, the movie that Jason's having us watch later this lap as a patron pick, it's from a series I've never heard of, this movie number 5, and it's wild. It's like the Ichiban Ishii whatever, like truck guys
or
whatever.
Down. Yeah.
So The Yellow Handkerchief.
Directed
by Yoji Yamada. Okay.
Okay. Continue.
So it's a major car make. It is a model I've never heard of, but it is aptly named.
It's a Toyota.
No.
It's a Nissan.
No. Think Tokyo Drift.
Mitsubishi.
Think Tokyo Drift. Think Han.
Mazda.
Mazda. Look, okay. I know car stuff.
There you go. You did good. Yeah.
The picture, it's orange. And there's two different, it looks like there's two different like sort of sets of pictures. I don't know if this is the common color, but it looks like they're both kind of the same orange, kind of like a cherry, maybe like a tomato red or an orange, like in between there.
Burnt orange,
sure. It's a 4-door sedan, kind of a station wagon-y kind of thing.
Kind of a station wagon-y kind of, okay, station wagon. Does it just have a hatch and you're calling it a station wagon, or is it actually like kind of a station wagon?
No, it doesn't really have a hatch. It has like a thing that back, like it kind of has the rear, like the how the thing goes down, like it slopes down in the back and then the bottom drops. Like it's not a full hatch, I don't think. Unless I don't know how to describe a hatch. It kind of looks like a car that should only have 2 doors, but it has 4 doors. It's got these very weird kind of, like, the rear view mirrors are coming out of the hood. They're not by the driver's and passenger's door. They're, like, almost by the headlights.
Okay, so, like, an old school car style, like, off the hood, fender, forward quarter panel type situations.
This car is from 1977. I don't think I gave that year yet, but it's from 1977.
I have a weird name stuck in my head.
Go for
it. But it doesn't match any of the other things. Is it like a panda?
No, remember, it's aptly named.
Aptly named, yeah. I thought maybe it looked like a panda and you just weren't conveying it even though it was orange. But go ahead, continue.
No, it looks like a station wagon. I'm going to look it up on Wiki, see if there's any kind of, you know...
facts.
Yeah, do you have, I can give you what it was called in other countries, though, too. Hold on, he says...
Oh, fun, yeah.
In other countries, it was the 323 or the GLC. But this is the name, we're trying to guess the name that was for the Japanese market, because it's a Japanese car, and the Japanese name is the one that's appropriate to us.
I'm not ready to give up yet, but this is tough. Continue
It's
on.
Also known as the Protégé or the Allegro. It's a small family
the
car.
It's
known as a... Yeah, but that's not what we're guessing.
I know, but the... Okay, that one I remember. Go ahead, continue.
Manufactured between 63 and 03, was replaced by the Mazda 3 or the Accela for 2004. It was rebranded as the Ford Laser and Ford Meteor in Asia, Oceania, Southern Africa, and some Latin American countries. The Ford Escort and Mercury Tracer in North America.
That's funny. They had the Tracer, the Probe, the Meteor, and the other one you said. Ford, which is like straight into space.
Yeah. So this one is from the... maybe the third generation? Let me see here. Yeah, this is from the third generation, the FA3 Series 2. Basically an updated version of the earlier one, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it was manufactured in Hiroshima Assembly. In Hiroshima, it's either a two- or four-door sedan or a two-door coupe. Front engine with rear-wheel drive.
Aptly named. Can you tiptoe around why it's aptly named for me,
please? It's very Fast and Furious.
It's very Fast and Furious.
I will say that the model of the car is very Fast and Furious. In a way, the word, what you're trying to guess, is very, very, very Fast and Furious.
The Han?
No, it's a word from another language.
The Wabaki.
Mm-mm. No, a different language, not Japanese.
A word from a different language.
Mm-hmm. You can also ask questions about the car, which is how the game was supposed to work, but it's very difficult. I don't know if you know this car, but if you want to guess...
No, I don't. That's why I'm trying to, like, hint on the name thing and use
what,
that angle.
What non-English, non-Japanese words are synonymous or are tied to the Fast and Furious?
The Familia?
The Mazda Familia.
Nailed it. Thank you. Wow.
I
okay, we
got
there. I had to
walk you down a very long pier, but we got there.
We did. Holy shit. No, I've never heard of the Mazda Familia ever. The Protégé, yes, and they brought the Protégé back, I think, like, not long, long ago. Maybe I just remember the 2003 ones before they stopped making it, but that's very, very cool. And the Familia, great name. Excellent pick. I should have gotten there earlier. Aptly named. I thought it was going to be, like, amphibian, like the frog. Like, I thought it was, like, an animal or something, and it looked like the animal, you know?
No. Aptly named for the podcast. I just sent you... Montez via text and Joe via Facebook pictures of the car. It's kind of station wagon. I wouldn't call this a hatch. I just call it like a station wagon rear.
This is a hatch for this time, but yeah.
You think it's a hatch? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, but this thing would be fucking cool to drive. Imagine if you had one of these now. I bet they all sucked because there's
these
like
mirrors are so weird.
Right? Is that, was that normal back then, Joe?
I don't know. It's like on some cars, like it's definitely not a modern thing. I don't know if it's legal to, like, have your mirrors there now if you don't have, like, a vintage car. Like, if there's, like, rules about it. But I've seen it on other cars.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, that is the end of the episode. Montez, thank you once again for joining us. We'll
thank
be back
you.
In 3 weeks for Fury 7. And also, we've not said this yet. I don't even know if you know this yet. But, Montez, you're going to have a co-guest on that episode because once per lap, we have the vocal stylings of Brian Late Night Slumber Party Rodriguez. He's on one Fast and Furious movie per lap, and Furious 7 is one of the ones he has not done, so you will be joined next episode by Brian.
Ooh.
So make sure you fill out your quadrants, but he will do a lot of talking, because he always does a lot of talking. So you'll be... that could be real chaos energy. If he channels his inner Kate Hudson, this could be a wild episode. So stay tuned in 3 weeks for Furious 7. Montez, get ready. So you've seen 7.
Yes.
And you saw Hobbs and Shaw, but you have not seen 8 or 9.
Michael and I are going to be together, and he said that I can't watch this movie with him or I'll see him cry. But
oh, right,
guess
yes.
what? I'm going to make him watch it on the train so we can cry in front of a bunch of strangers.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Do it.
Very cool.
And then take video of it and post it and be like, look at this little cry, baby.
Yeah. So that is coming up in 3 weeks, Joe. Between now and then, we've got the Iron Giant. We've got the Patreon bonus episode of Ralph Breaks the Internet. We've got Life in the Fast Lane, minute 81. So very exciting things these next 3 weeks between now and Furious 7. Monta, is there anything you want to let the people know, anywhere that they can find you, anything that you want to share with them, anything that you have not said already in this episode?
Go watch Sense8. It'll change your life.
Yeah. Fair.
Everybody stay frosty.
Stay frosty. Joe, do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
No, I was just thinking about how, like, I've been seeing these tweets about how Hooters is rebranding, and that just seems weird to me.
Like, what are they rebranding to?
We don't know. They just say millennials aren't as excited by boobs anymore, and so they're rebranding, and I don't know. I would like to learn more about that.
Interesting.
That's my final thought. That's my final thought for today.
All right. Well, for all things Hooters and Too Fast, Too Forever, you go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/TooFastTooForever, or at Too Fast, Too Forever on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Email us, family, at cageclub.me. This means you, Wes, remember to send in an email that you forgot to send in us. Check out our Patreon page at TooFastTooForever.com and our store over on TeePublic, and come back next week as we talk about Vin in the animated film The Iron Giant. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And that was Montez. Montez, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
And we'll tell you all about it
when we see you.